1 Samuel 16. Now, I understand our class that meets in the gym, Jason and Caleb, they're in this book. So there's some discussion between Caleb and Jason on where I'm going to go. And Caleb said something. I said, I really don't know. Y'all just have to hang on. Just have to hang on. But we're going to be in 1 Samuel 16, verses 14 through 23 tonight. It's good to see all of you. I hope you've had a good week. Anna did not have her surgery. I'll update you more. Hopefully they'll do it Friday. I went and saw her a little while ago. I just want to tell you something. That woman is precious. She's laying there asking about everybody else. I need some members. I need a lot of members like that. Amen? Just precious. But I'll update you more on her situation. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 14 through 23. We started this study last week on the life of David. What am I calling it, Morgan? Summer with the Shepherd. Thank you, Morgan, for your help. Summer with the Shepherd, and we're going to be on this probably well past Labor Day. 1 Samuel 16, look in verse number 14. We'll read down through 23. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubles thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Where Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. Verse 20, And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and bottle of wine and a kid, and set them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to be here tonight. We thank you for each one that has come out tonight. We ask you to meet with us, Lord, and help us to learn something from your word. Bless and all those, help all those that aren't here. There's several that are struggling, some in the hospital, some facing surgery. We'll discuss them a little later as we pray for them. And I just pray that you have your way. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. At one point in King Saul's life, he was used mightily for the Lord. But because of his rebellion, God removed his spirit from him. And Saul was gripped with depression, violent mood swings. And it was suggested, I like how this plays out, it was suggested that they find someone who could play a harp. Guess who that was? David. The very one that was anointed last week as he came in out of the field to be anointed as the next king. Saul was allowed to occupy the throne until his successor was fully ready to go. God used the madness of Saul to train this young shepherd. We're going to see this as we go through the battles that David and Saul had. But I want you to look at, tonight we're calling it How God Builds a King. There's four tools that God used to build David. And I want to look at those, and they can help us as well. Y'all with me? Amen. Everybody awake? I didn't get no amens on that one. You good, Marty? Okay. That's good then. That means we're good. The first tool, God uses the tool of solitude. It was in those lonely hills where David spent a lot of time with his sheep. A lot of time, just him and the Lord. and his sheep. And David learned some valuable lessons. For us, there has to be a time when it's just us and God. Away from the hustle, the bustle, the phones, and everything else, when it's just you and God. Because it was so important that Jesus did this as well. Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Luke 4:42, and when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. Luke 6:12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. John 6:15. And Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king. He departed again into the mountain to pray. If the Son of God thought it so important to have solitude, don't you think we should? Can you picture David out in those hills with all of his sheep, sitting there in the middle of the night maybe? It's just him and God. You ever been at a place in your life to where there's quiet? Don't you like quiet? Sometimes we'll just sit, Kathy and I, and just all we hear is the snoring of Dudley. Nobody's mad. It's just quiet. I don't think that happens a lot in Ringgold at that set of Weaver's house. Because there's four of them, y'all two and them dogs. But there has to be a time, whether it's in the morning, and I encourage you, and I've said it before, every morning we ought to start our day with God. Before you turn the news on, before you pick up your phone, before you do anything, we ought to start with God. And have that time of quietness. That time in our prayer closet. And this was a tool that God used for David. We see also God uses the tool of secrecy. Before David could sit on the throne and rule the nation, he spent countless hours alone, tending his sheep day after day after day. What he learned tending these sheep, he learned to be faithful to his responsibilities. Even though nobody was watching, he learned obedience. He learned humility. He learned to be watchful. He learned lessons in secret places that he could never learn anywhere else. Before he was brought up to prominence, he was trained in the background. Secrecy. God always trains in private before he uses them in public. Look at Elijah. Elijah, before he stood on the mountain there at Carmel, he learned to walk with God in private. Before Elisha, his predecessor, his one that took over for him, before Elisha stood tall, before Israel as a prophet of God, he served in the background as Elijah. Before Moses was fit to lead Israel, he spent 40 years on the backside of a desert. I was thinking, I spent many years as David Stansel's setup man. You know, in baseball, you got the starter, you got the setup, you got the closer. I was his setup man. I did all of the stuff, and all he did was preach, and that was good. It worked. It's fine. But there's one thing I absolutely got to where I hated doing. That was the prayer list. I hated it. I'm talking pages of prayer list. And if you didn't mention Aunt Martha's nephew's cousin's sister-in-law, then Aunt Martha's cousin's sister-in-law would find me. I just hated that. I just did. So one day I told him, on Wednesday nights, I'm going to start working in Awana. And there was one class available, and it was the fourth and fifth grade class, and there was 18 boys. He said, "You sure you want that? If it gets me away from the prayer list, I'll take it." Now let me tell you something. It was rough. Now these were church kids, Amy. We had a bus route. I did it. We might have had four or five in that class. Most of them were church kids. And they were rough and rowdy. I'd kick them out, put them in the hallway. Mom and Dad would walk by and throw a fit while they're in the hallway. That's because they can't behave. When they learn to behave, they're allowed to come back in the classroom. You're tough. Oh, yeah, I was tough. This was in September. By November, Philip, we were walking out in single file line. And David said, "You've done well." I said, "I told you I didn't want to do that prayer list anymore. I was desperate." But I say all that to say this. There were many things I did in the background. Nobody ever saw. David saw it. The Lord saw it. Never got a dime. Never was paid a dime at that church. But you know why I did it? Because I wanted to do it. And I love the Lord. Here's my thing. If you hold a position in any church, do it for the glory of God. Daryl's been there. He's done it all. Daryl's been there, led the singing, taught Sunday school. You probably had to take up the offering and preach. I've been there. And clean the toilets. At my first church, there was one Sunday I taught Sunday school, led the singing. I walked the aisles. The boys wasn't big enough yet. I walked the aisles and gathered up the money for the tithes for the day, went back up and preached, closed up, and had to clean the mess up. But you know what? You know why we did it? Because we love the Lord. I'm going to go on a little rant here for just a second. I can do that because I have the pulpit. There's not any young preachers in here, but I hear there's from a lot of young preachers, and I heard it through the years. I want to be on the stage right now. It doesn't work that way. I took a year's worth of classes down in Rossville at church, and it was very good, beneficial, and helped me to learn more about the Bible. But it was me and a bunch of kids, and they were ready to go to Africa. They were ready to pastor a 1,000-seat church, and I had to go, and I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to get back on track. Y'all just follow me here. I had to go to Calhoun to a young preacher's meeting. I said, "Really? Yeah, you're required to go." So I went. I heard all these kids holler and scream and spit and sputter. Didn't say nothing. I mean, Dudley's howling could have been better than what they put out there. Pastor gets up and he said, "To close us off tonight, our veteran, Kevin Weaver, is going to preach." Oh, gee whiz. So I get up there. You know, I don't spit and sputter and holler and carry on. I got up there and I just preached about what it means to be a pastor. And you don't start off on stage. Every one of them boys was mad at me. But the pastor said, "You're the one that can say that. Listen to me. You don't always start out on top." A lot of these young preachers, they don't want to work. Working wasn't a problem. It's still not a problem. When I come up, you worked. You earned your opportunity to preach. You earned it. This is not something that's given because you got a last name. Are y'all hearing me tonight? I've ranted a little bit, but that's all right. I can, Daryl. Every once in a while, I can rant. I can do that. Thank you, Daryl. Thank you for approving that. It's good to have you back, too, by the way. But God trains his people. And I say that because sometimes there were Sundays when I would do what I was supposed to do, and it was like, does anybody even notice? If I didn't mention something, anybody notice? Oh, yeah, they'd notice. But if I didn't do my job, who would notice? Well, first of all, it's what you do when nobody's watching that matters. It's what I do in that office, and eventually, now that Sister Shirley has graciously got all her stuff out of there, eventually I'm going to be over here in this office. I'm going to set up a new office, bigger, because I just don't have enough room. But what I do in that time is what I bring to you on Sunday. I'm going to be preaching Sunday and lay an egg. I'll know it. You may not even know it. But if I'm not prepared, I'm the one that knows it. I'm the one that knows it because the Lord rebukes me. The Lord rebukes him when we're not ready. It's what you do when nobody's watching that matters. What do you mean, preacher? What you do at home when nobody's watching you. What you're watching, what you're listening to, it matters. Are y'all with me tonight? It matters. David was out in the field. He was out in the field tending his sheep. Nobody knew if he was there. But they knew if he wasn't, because if he wasn't, the sheep were gone. The sheep had went astray. But listen to me. I'm convinced that we all need that time of obscurity. Think about Moses. We talked about him 40 years in the backside of a desert. God had told Moses. Moses knew he was going to be one to deliver the children of Israel. He's on the backside of a desert. 40 years. Can you imagine? Listen to me. God knows where you are and God cares where you are. Y'all still with me? Say amen. Even if you're not. Number three, God uses the tool of sameness. What does that mean? Can you imagine day after day after day, David and his sheep? I'm sure it got boring. I'm sure countless days, endless routines, things went over and over and over and just crazy. But it was there in those times where he learned what it meant to be faithful. This is what we're lacking in our churches today. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is still important. He had a job and he did it. God used this unending routine to shape David. Same is true for us. Life unfolds day upon changeless day. We learn to be faithful in the little things. Matthew 25:21. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." When life seems like it's just drudgery and just constantly the same over and over and over, just keep being faithful, because he's preparing you for something. He's preparing you for something. Let me encourage you to remain faithful in those little things. You got a prayer request you've been praying about? Keep praying. You say, "He's not hearing." Oh, he's hearing. Keep going to church. Even though it may seem like nothing's happening, keep going to church. Keep going. Keep serving. Keep trusting. Keep living. Keep refusing to turn back. Keep refusing to go the ways of the world. Our fourth tool, God uses the tool of struggle. David's life was not all about mundane. In chapter 17, 34 through 37, I'm not going to read, but it talks about he walks along in the valley and kills a giant named Goliath. We'll get to that next week. We know that he killed a bear and a lion. We know all these things happened. So there was a lot of struggle that happened. And we're going to see David struggle as Saul will tear off after him eventually. We'll see that. But God's purpose in those times is not to hurt us. It's to teach us to be patient. It's to teach us faith. It's to teach us to be dependent upon him. Because nothing teaches us about the love and the faithfulness and the power of God than him safely leading us. Nothing teaches us the fruit of the Spirit that we preached on Sunday more so than just living life. Life is tough. Life is hard. Life seems like it's one issue after another. But God allowed David to walk through some hard places so he might use him for greater fashion. One writer said this: life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how we respond. Think about that for a second. Life is 10% of what happens and 90% of how we respond. Look at Job. Look at Job. All that happened to him and how he responded. Now, there's four things I want to give you here at the end about David that'll help you understand a little more about him. He was referred to as a skilled man. He was cunning. That means an artist, faithful, trustworthy. It refers to those who are wise and capable and resourceful. He was a strong man. David is referred to as a mighty, valiant man of war. It refers to courage that he had developed as he had to lead those flocks. He just wasn't out in the field somewhere. He was in some rough places. And we'll see next week as he stands up to Goliath. He was a shrewd man. That means prudent. David was very careful what he said and how he said it. He knew when to speak. He knew when to listen. That's a good trait for all of us. He was a striking man. David said to be comely, and that refers to his physical appearance as well as his overall manner, how he presented himself. David had an air about him that people drew to. He was a sanctified man. David's greatest attribute was the fact that the Lord is with him. You don't get called a man after God's own heart by not having the Lord with you. He was consecrated. He moved through life with the breath of heaven on him. He was a special person. So these characteristics here, the solitude, the secrecy, the sameness, and the struggle, it's the characteristics that will enable David, and we'll see as we go along, to become that man after God's own heart. You see, we focus on the end of David's life when he got in all that trouble. We'll get there. But there's a whole lot happened between right where we are and that point. David was the most successful king of Israel that they ever had for 40 plus years. And we'll see that as we go along. He said, "Preacher, what can I get from this?" Sometimes the Lord tries to teach us lessons. And we need to take those lessons to heart. Take those lessons to heart. And if he has you in a place of obscurity, just take that time. Say, "All right, Lord, I'm going to follow your leadership. I'm going to do what you want to do." You don't know the years that I would do all of that for David and sit on the front pew thinking, as he stood to preach, "That should be me. I was hungry." Then when I got to Rock Spring, I thought, "Boy, I missed that front pew." "Boy, I missed that front pew." But I was hungry because I wanted to put to work what I'd been taught to do. I wanted to put to work what God had given me to do. You know, you have to find that place that God wants you to serve and serve him. There's a whole lot to do around here. There's a whole lot to do. There is something for everybody to do here at Middle Cross. Everybody. I guarantee you, you come to me and say, "Preacher, I need something to do. I'll put you on it." You may not like it, but if you come to me saying you need something to do, I'll put you on it. Because it's important that we all as church do something. Do something. It's not all on me. I got to have all of you, and I'm so thankful to be in a church where we have people that want to do something. It's not just the weavers doing it all, not because we want to, because we had to. I'm thankful to have a group of people that want to serve God. Let me ask you to bow your heads all over God's house tonight. We'll go into a time of prayer. Four things on how God builds a king. There's some lessons here for all of us. You may not want to learn them. So I'm too old to learn. You're never too old to learn. You're never too old to serve God. You're never too old to follow the Lord. You're never too old. God has a plan for your life. He wants you to serve him. The Bible says, "Serve the Lord with gladness." Serve the Lord with gladness. There's times it gets weary, it's tiresome. Sure. But there's nothing better than walking with the Lord daily. Walking by his side daily and having God meet with you and show you things. Having people come to you through the week and call you, text you. Come by the church, just say, "I want to encourage you. Thank you for what you're doing." That means a lot. Sister Anna laying in her hospital bed this afternoon. She said, "I sure do appreciate what you do. Now, how's so-and-so? How's this one and how's that one?" I said, "Man, I need a whole bunch of her." We ought to all be that way. Care more about others than we do ourselves, because that's what God wants us to do. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. And we know as we go through this study, we're going to learn a lot about how we ought to carry ourselves. And David's a great example And we're going to see as we go through, as we see how he is chased by Saul, feared for his life. Saul tried to kill him several times. And we're going to see him rise up and become the king of Israel. We're going to see all these things. And Lord, I just pray that you help us to learn something from this study. Learn that there may be times we need solitude. Sometimes that we need to be obscure. We need to be in secret. Well, all these things, we need to have these things, practice these things. Most importantly, Lord, it's important for all of us to find a time every day to spend with you. Because it's the most important thing is to get the word from you than it is anything else. Help us all to be a people that want to follow your leadership and your direction. We love you and we thank you. Be with us now as we go into this time of prayer. We just ask you to have your way. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.